Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, everyone.
That was great. Did we get Dave in the...
I don't know, we were just taking a pre-run photo and Paul's neighbour
Dave
came up the street.
Dave, fond of a jamble, to mix a jog and a ramble, his kind of phrase.
Right, a jamble.
So he loves it on these summer mornings, he's out and about.
It's absolutely gorgeous today. We're starting off in Crouch End and it's sunny and there's just a little whiff of cold air. Just that, yeah, not enough to make you need a jacket even.
It's
but
perfect,
you know what it makes you think of?
What?
It makes you think of the seaside. But not just the seaside, but the seaside like when you're little. You know,
on
seaside
your way down
in 1978,
yeah.
Going to Dymchurch or Bognor Regis and knowing that the sea's just behind the houses there.
Yeah, that's what it's like, nipping down to the coast. It's beautiful. Yeah. Really is nice. And how long do you fancy?
Well, your choice.
I think I could go about seven, maybe.
Oh, my
Depends
God.
Depends how you feel. How do you feel? Be honest. You got to be honest.
Well, I feel fine. I keep running a little bit too far.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. What have you been up to?
Well, I ran last week. Because we didn't... This has been a little while, isn't it? We didn't see each other last week.
Yeah.
Last week, I went out on Monday. I thought, gentle seven. Feeling a bit achy. And I went out and I came up here.
Yeah.
At the park and walking back.
Right.
And I just caught the pace.
Right.
Just dog ran into real high speeds. I mean, really high speed.
Right.
Her average speed was about 7:45.
Right. Okay.
That was actually kind of 8-minute miles with a couple of 6:45s at the end.
Nice.
So
nice.
I finished strong. And it was just, you know.
You found the flow.
Yeah. I just, you know, followed my nose to it and it was absolutely great. And then I went for another slower run in the middle of the week. And then last Friday, I wanted to do 10. Plus to make up the numbers on the weekend to kind of keep my distance handing ahead of the canal canter. I went out again. I thought, God, I feel really tired. Wish I brought my bus pass because I might stop and go home, you know. Anyway, I got to Victoria Park. I was like, wait a minute, I'm cruising now.
Wait a minute.
I'm still going pretty good. Again,
what
I just
is this?
Keep kind of, not accidentally, but unintentionally.
Yeah.
Going off at a good real pace.
Right.
So again, I was probably over 10.5 miles, averaging a minute and a half faster than this, you know.
Yeah.
And
nice.
It was great, but then by Saturday, I was going to do the park run as well.
What, this Saturday?
Saturday just gone.
Yes.
That's when I thought, no, don't do it. I should stay in bed and watch my legs, because still less than 2 weeks after
the London
Marathon, and a few kind of niggles and pains.
I saw that, it made me laugh, the guilt pile.
Yeah,
the park run guilt pile, setting your kit out the date night before.
Yeah, because really,
not using it.
The decision was 100%, you know.
Yeah.
It was just when I came downstairs, it was like, sorry guys.
Yes.
But also,
let me down, baby.
You have to throw in that as well. When I got back, I was busy, really busy couple of days on Thursday, Friday. Hired a car, went and did a gig in Gainsborough, you know, which is far.
Yes.
When you get to Gainsborough, you see this Scunthorpe and Grimsby on the signs.
You're a long way from home.
And that was 2 gigs. I did Gainsborough, and then to Southwell, where I met some lovely fans of the show. Hey, guys! And then went home, and then on Friday down to Portsmouth. Of course, you know, it's not as far, but Friday down the A3.
So it takes ages.
And really nice gigs, all three. And then got home on Friday night. Parked the car quite far from my house. You could hear the echoes of a really loud, really fun young people's party.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe in one of the flats.
That's nice, isn't it?
And I walked around the corner to my house and brilliant sinking right feeling. We're like, it was, of course, our neighbours.
Right. Well, it's great to see people having fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really happy for them.
Yeah. Stoked.
So, yeah, and that's because they've got, like, you know, a sort of yard on the front of the house.
Right.
Which is separated from our house by a wall.
Right.
But no walls or ceiling or doors or windows. Just
no,
there.
Nothing to, no sand.
There's a guy.
Insulation. Yeah.
In that space. And he said, if I remember rightly, he said, "A lad, 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 lad," till about three. And that was a key contributor to the
not going
to the park run.
Absolutely.
But yeah, my legs hurt a bit. Yesterday, I went out and got my train tickets.
Right.
So that was a 6-miler down to King's Cross. Very nice.
Yeah.
That one we did the other day.
Yeah, that's a nice little one.
And I had to run to catch a green man on a road crossing once.
Right.
And it was just so good. I felt like the power, you know.
Oh, well, that was
just
good.
Sprinted for a, you know, they do the countdown now.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Well, you're starting to feel the strength from London as well, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right now.
From the training you did for it and the day itself.
Well, there's a little bit of conflict because that's all in the engine room. And meanwhile, the crew, the knees and ankles and heels are all going, easy. Yeah. You don't want to stay in the red all the time. So what about you?
I've been keeping fairly busy. I did a 10-mile, well, it ended up being an 11-mile leg of the London Relay.
Oh, of course you were doing that at the weekend.
For Runners World at the weekend.
Yeah, how was that? Tell us all about that.
It was good fun. I mean, it was, you agree to these things. You think it'll be a leisurely...
Careful.
Nearly went, didn't go.
He nearly went, but he didn't go.
Thank you. Thank you much. It'll be a leisurely jog?
Yeah.
But it turns out it was like...
I remember you doing that before. You were with someone who was kind of whipping off like...
Yeah. I mean, I ended up doing like... Last year it was like 10 and a half miles on the road at sub-7:30 pace, which I wasn't ready for.
Yeah.
Just hanging on for 8 miles with a stranger.
Yeah. But saying, do you want it to be someone you know so you can go, slow down,
for goodness sake.
For goodness.
Look at me.
It's ridiculous.
No, but I knew the guys doing it. It was the guys from Runner's World, the editor, Andy Dixon.
It's
and Kerry
a Runner's
McCaffrey.
World thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Runner's World thing.
So how far is the route you get round London?
I think it's about 170 miles.
Try and do it in 24 hours.
Try and do it in 24 hours.
In 10 miles-ish.
10 miles
relay bits.
Yeah, it was. Ours ended up being 11 miles. A lot of hills.
Where were you?
A lot of cross country. We were going from Elstree to Fosters.
Yep.
A lot of hills, really. The terrain was quite tricky. And we were doing like 8:45s, 8:50s the whole way round.
Yeah.
Which is quite tiring when it's hilly cross country.
Yes, that's right.
So it was tricky again. I enjoyed it. And I felt a bit of the strength from the marathon, actually. I felt okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an easy one.
No. Oh, it's a great thing, though.
Oh, yeah, really good fun.
Yeah.
But the tension of it as well was, because last year they did it fairly easily. This year, it was really tight, so there was an element of tension about the whole thing.
Right.
And they ended up failing! Which, of course, I found quite amusing, because why not?
Yeah.
But they failed by about 20 minutes. So this sort of fun... positivity thing became a slow dance.
It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. We lost!
Yeah. A slow dance with the idea of failure.
Seeing it on the horizon. There's our failure over there.
Yeah.
Keep
What's
running
that
towards
coming
it?
Over the hill?
Defeat!
But it didn't stop us having a laugh.
It's not just defeat, though. It's the whole body that does a run like that.
Yeah. It's not just our defeat. It's the collective body of the whole people committed to the idea. The people who ran at 3:30 in the morning for like 2 hours. It's a tricky course, you see, and navigation's quite tricky. It's a tricky loop that you follow.
I'm only newly getting some sense of the different kind of exhaustion you get from trail running, from up and down hills.
Yes.
And just that mild but steady effort
of being
off-road.
Yeah, yeah,
it's very hard to quantify.
A part of it is, well, as we saw there, where I just nearly fell over, you've got to put a lot of energy, mental energy, into foot placement.
Yeah, yeah.
Or else you're going to just fall. So
it's about defeat,
isn't it? That's quite hard. It's about defeat.
Yeah.
And that's quite tiring as well. So.
Yeah.
And we handed over, which was nice, actually, to old Chan and Rayworth.
Hey!
And the buddy, so that was nice to see
very
them.
Good. Great that Rayworth is back on the road after injury and enforced to break.
Yeah, that was... All right, mate. No, that was funny because we were handing over... And Chan was all smiles and like, let's take a selfie.
And it was her birthday the other day, so happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. And we had to hand over the baton and stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone's having a laugh and stuff. You could see Ray was getting a bit nervous, like,
come on,
this is a race, guys.
Come on.
It's like, let's get on with it.
And was that like a French loaf you handed to them then?
Yeah. Un baguette.
With some camembert in it.
It was...
baton, a bit sweaty by the time.
But that was good fun.
Silvertown.
And I was a bit tired because I'd had an overnight from another of my classic overnights from Bahrain the night before.
Yeah.
So I was a bit of a wreck.
Well, you will, if you will keep going to the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all these comedy gigs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spy.
Yeah.
It's a spy.
Yeah. Deep undercover. And then last night, I did a 1500 metre race on the track in the Vets Track League at Lee Valley, which is the first time I'd done one for years.
Taking a break from looking after all the sick animals, yeah?
Yeah. It was a... that was a liaison with the truth. That told me a lot about my lack of speed.
Tell us then, 1,500 metres.
It's great, though, running, is it? Because it never lies to you, does it?
No.
It cannot lie.
No. Both ways.
Yeah,
it's like me going.
Yeah, totally.
She knows.
Yeah. That was a lovely moment, actually. We just passed someone who was walking up the hill.
Yeah, if you didn't pick it up, she just said she just completely jumped to the Yep, you know, you're getting old.
And I know I'm getting old. But
and we're on a hill, so.
So I'm doing my first track race. First 1500 for about 30 years.
Yeah, so you feel like you're at school, basically.
Yeah, I've done no speed work at all. Also coming off the back of two nights drinking, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just didn't have the discipline not to drink on
Sunday
night. Well,
you know what they say, drinking is training.
Yeah, drinking really helps. And I could see with my fellow runners, they were also massive drinkers.
These runners look good, don't they? The ones that overtook us. Look
yeah,
at
yeah.
They do look fitter than you, actually.
Yeah, they look really fit.
They look really fit. You don't. I'm only joking.
So I ended up...
And what are the parameters again? Are there lots of events? Are there age groups?
Yeah. You've got... It's just the Vets League. So they've got like 100 metre sprints, 400 metre.
Yep.
They've got guys doing long jump.
And how do you qualify as a vet? What's the... Just means you're not at school anymore.
Yeah, just anything. They've got anything over 40.
Right.
So I was in the first race, 40 to 50.
Yep.
And sweeping up the back of it, I was third from last.
Yeah.
But the two guys before me were really, really not in the same race sort of thing. You get people just run it just for a laugh, which is entirely what it's about. It's not it's not massive high pressure.
Yeah.
You've got guys who are really good athletes who are holding on, and then you've got people just doing it for a laugh. I mean, there was people doing the long jump just... who you wouldn't expect to be seeing doing the long jump.
Yeah,
do you know,
right.
What I mean? They're just having a laugh, which is what it should be about.
It's part of the Vets thing, isn't it? If you're going to have a community that's doing that, it's kind of like the old-fashioned version of what we say about the democracy of the London Marathon, you know.
Totally.
If it's going to be for everyone, you've got to have all kinds
of... It has to be for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got a lovely summer's evening, Monday night, Lee Valley.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice to be part of it.
Yeah.
And... I ended up doing the 1,500 metres in about 5:32, which is a lot slower than I was even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I found out a lot. It made me want to get faster, and it really just wakes you up. It's just good fun, you know.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound too bad, really. Like you say, you got the reporting,
yes.
And you found out where you were at, but it wasn't like you didn't stop and crawl and go,
oh, no,
those days
no.
are gone.
No.
It was just the beginning of the road rather than the end of the road.
Yeah, and you're up against people like, you know, Old Gavin was there, I talk about from time to time.
Yeah.
He'd had a really busy weekend away with a London Heathside training weekend. They'd done a long Sunday run. They'd had a massive cycle run in the evening. He's just turning up for a laugh, yeah. You know, just literally, and still doing it 20 seconds faster than me.
Yeah, yeah.
At the age of 58.
Yeah, yeah, just...
So everyone, it's different, while complaining that he's really tired. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So everyone's at different levels, but yeah, really yeah. Good fun.
So, and that is that the... Because you were saying you want to do sort of basically short and sharp this summer.
Yeah, I want to do a lot of 5Ks.
Have you got any sort of lined up, or is it just...
Just part runs. I've got the club championships on June the 1st.
Yeah. Are there any of those Victoria Park 5 and 10Ks?
I'll have a little look, actually. Yeah. But there's a few down Battersea Park.
And the Golden Stag Mile's happening again, but I can't...
It is, but it's always
on a Friday night, isn't it? It doesn't work for us.
They don't factor in the comics diary,
no,
do they?
Considering the comedian no. Here.
I'm doing the Westminster Mile on May the 28th, which is...
Well, what people don't understand is that the Westminster Mile is something that the people need to understand.
There will be a lot of politicians doing that.
Well, what people need to understand about a lot of politicians, but a lot of politicians...
The Westminster Mile means the Westminster Mile.
I think that what you can't understand listening to this is how much I'm moving both of my hands.
Into consideration. So,
when's that?
That'll be good fun. That's on May the 28th.
Nice.
And that's just a series of mile events. A load of people rock up to that one.
Around that time, I'll be doing that run. Do you remember we're going to my friend's house on the west coast of Scotland in half term?
All right, yeah.
And I went out and stampeded some Angus cattle.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to risk that run again.
Cool.
But even as a vegan, I'm kind of hoping that those cattle have been eaten since then.
Yeah. So less they remember.
Because I think if I tangle with them again, it might not end quite so neatly.
He's back. So what kind of mileage have you been doing then? You had a week, you had a sort of... This is like the third week after London, isn't it?
Yeah, so including London. That was a kind of a 40-mile week.
Yeah.
So that's easy enough because we'd done 26 of them.
Yeah.
And then the following week I was going to do the same thing. I cut the park run, but I was still 30 miles plus, I think.
Right.
And then this week, 6 yesterday.
Right.
What are we saying, 7 today?
Maybe 7, yeah.
And I'll see how I feel tomorrow.
Right.
Might do another similar...
Right.
Six-ish.
So you didn't really take a week of rest after London, did you?
No, I didn't. Last week, because you said...
I have to say, Rob.
You said the week after...
I really think you should have had a rest and recuperation after London.
But you know what?
No.
I can't remember where I was, but I was running and I was just thinking, I'm so glad I've got another event lined up.
Right.
Because I'd just be really paranoid and guilty about this run.
Right.
When instead I think, well, I'm training.
Right, okay.
So you but equally, when I get something feels bad, I do wind back.
Right, fair enough.
But
fair
it was enough. Weird. It was strange last week, those fast ones, because I really didn't plan them at all.
Right.
It was really watching what my buddy was doing.
Yeah.
So I've got, and right now I'm on the same page as you, because you said to take it easy last week and I didn't.
Right.
Until I'd been that park run. And then this running, 2 days running, it's really just because we need to
do this.
I wasn't...
We need to apologise for people who found it a little bit hard to access the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is if you're hearing this, then you're all right, you've got it.
Yeah.
But then it might be weeks from now.
It's ongoing. It's suddenly... It seemed to...
Something's changed.
We became aware of it after London, didn't we? Which is a real shame.
Yeah, well, I think the marathon ones went out. It was last week's. And right. Then suddenly people are saying it's not appearing on Apple and right. Some other podcast providers like Podbean.
Right.
But if you have rooted it out and you're finding it, it's on Acast, then you get the pictures there too. So
right.
I'm not trying to plug it, but if you want it, you can get
yeah.
It. And but anyway, hopefully by the time
we're doing our best,
that will all yeah. Be resolved.
Yeah.
And more specifically, I think it's important to say... It's not our fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It's not my fault. I didn't do anything.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
This should be fine, shouldn't it?
Woo!
Gone.
No, look out.
Rob! Can I take a photo of that? 1 second. Trip hazard.
Massive hazard.
That is a serious trip hazard for the stupid man who isn't looking. Because I've got Manchester Half on Sunday.
Right.
And so I'm feeling a little bit of... need to do some element of tapering between
yeah,
now and
yeah,
then, otherwise that'll
yeah.
Be wasted, you know?
Yeah, that was going to be an interesting event. I'm actually in Liverpool Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I'm coming back for the fun run to volunteer, actually.
Oh, Crouch End's on Sunday,
yes,
isn't it? How
yeah.
Great.
They actually asked us whether we fancied.
It's a real shame.
Podcasting
isn't it?
The event this year.
Yeah, which is lovely, and of course,
well, next year we'll do it.
As you long-term listeners will know, we always do it. So
yeah,
it's kind of a bit of a shame that we're not around. But so, and also we could go for a run in the Northwest on Saturday, except we can't because I'm not running on Saturday.
Yeah.
Got half marathon on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to be around Liverpool. Should I do? What part run should
Crosby.
I do?
Crosby!
Should I? Is that the one
yeah.
to do?
That's the one I failed to get to.
Right.
Do you remember? I ran through the wind.
Yes.
North along the coast. Quite far.
Right.
It's about, I don't know, 7 miles north, so you could drive okay. up there.
Yeah, that's...
And then when you get there, you go along the beach past Anthony Gormley's statues of people set in the sand looking out to sea.
Brilliant. Is it quite...
Flattish, yeah, I think so.
Right.
I didn't do it, as I say. Okay. It's a bit of a hill, but it's pretty nippy.
Right.
Our friend Chris, who sent that lovely email, that's where I saw him. He was
right.
whipping around that
Yeah. I'll give that
track in 18 minutes.
Nice.
But it's a really nice park run that I'm desperate to do. So if you do it,
look.
At least one of us will have done it. But there's other ones. There's another one. There's one in Sefton Park.
Well, I might go Sefton Park because I think for the first time my go-to accommodation in the Northwest can't happen. So I might be Airbnb.
Ooh.
Is that what you do when you stay in Liverpool?
Yeah.
What is that what you do?
Well, it depends.
Right.
I'm doing it in September and I'm Airbnb-ing it then.
Right.
And I Airbnb-ed it once, but I was quite far out of town.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a pain.
Right.
But then also they've got the old sliding scale hotel room. So if you get in early enough,
yeah.
There's no need to get an Airbnb because you can be in a sometimes a nice hotel in the middle of town costs not very much money, and other times it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Right.
Not hundreds, but you know.
Yeah, it can get a bit expensive.
More than you're getting paid for the gigs.
Yeah.
Which makes
it pointless.
Makes it completely pointless.
Yeah. Oh, it's all right. I've got a deal. Yeah, £200 a night. How much are you getting paid? Nothing. Brilliant. Yeah.
It's free.
Nice crowds. So I'm going to be Airbnb, maybe around Sefton Park.
I've got a stone in my shoe. Sorry.
Go for it.
Yeah, Sefton Park's good. I was going to go there. The reason I was at the Crosby Run, apart from the fact that it was a fantastic scene, was it was a run to the park run. That was the idea.
Yeah.
I just wasn't ready for how slow I was and how windy it was.
Yeah.
There we go. And I just missed it. Like, when it's that classic thing.
You see
the different
them
relationship
off.
With time.
Right.
Because I thought, oh, they've been going like for an hour.
Right.
And when I got there, I saw them come past, and then I went to the end. And I was at the end 5-10 minutes before the finish. So I must have actually been there.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Like, less than 10 minutes late.
That's frustrating.
But it was a great scene. Really good.
It's one of those real anxiety dreams.
Yeah, it was a bit. Particularly as you know, the long, an excellent, but really odd run past, like, the Port of Liverpool, and the sort of access road to all the industry along there.
I had sort of the reverse of an anxiety dream last night. I had a sort of like a relaxation dream where I was in a massive supermarket, and I really like supermarkets, and I just decided to just stay and work there in the supermarket.
It's very calming, isn't it?
I just know that when I retire from stand-up, I'm going to work in a supermarket. Oh, fuck.
He's up.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. That was one. I'm actually fine, actually, because I did it. Oh, yeah, I went
Rob
down.
Rob just went for a tumble.
What a chippy day. I'm cheers, thanks.
That's kind of classic. I'm all right.
I forgot how to use words.
Yeah.
No, that's funny, because I was getting the phone out to get this. Look at this. This is the first time we've been in Jurassic Park since the summer came. But it's like you said, you've got to watch foot placement. Because I caught a, what's the word, root.
It's those roots, it's those gnarly roots.
But the funny thing is, when I'm saying I'm okay, I know it sounds like I was protesting too much, but it's because as I went, I thought, okay, I'm falling over. I can't stop myself falling over.
Right.
I'll go long.
So you went for it.
I stretched out.
I saw a bit of a roll, yeah. It's more the disappointment you realise when you realise you're going to fall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, and also it's nice to accept that you're going to fall, because sometimes you think you've got so much time, you assume you won't.
Yeah.
I was near that place.
No, you were off. You
know straight. My friends in the have got the palace in the middle of Wales?
Yeah.
Just incredible. Talking of opposite of anxiety dreams, I stayed with them for Macunkworth Festival.
Right.
And it's just the most beautiful place, and they're absolutely lovely people as well.
Yeah.
So just, you know.
Nice.
So we made you some coffee, and here's some toast, and have a look out the window, and like, is this real life?
Have a look out the window and imagine living.
But there is a bit there on that, the run I didn't do that time, but the run I do there.
Yeah.
Where you kind of get to the bottom of the valley, you find a path up and you climb for miles and miles.
Yeah.
Up a lane, then along, across up another lane, and up along the ridge. Really satisfying. You feel like you're in an advert for running.
Yeah.
And feeling so positive about it, so empowered by it. And I went through a gate up onto the hillside near some wind turbines, you know. And then I tripped.
Right.
And the trip was so undramatic. It was basically the underside of my foot just scuffed.
Yes.
I misjudged how high the road was, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just tripped, ball of the foot hitting the tarmac. And this tarmac was covered in manure, actually. A mix of cow and sheep manure.
Nice.
And
soft
so I tripped. And I fell over so slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like I'd made a decision to get onto my hands and knees. So I scuffed my foot, gently got down onto my hands and knees, and then the momentum took me slowly left.
Right.
And I just rolled over like a dead fly with my hands and feet in the
like
air.
Like a dog rubbing themselves on fox.
Yeah, just screens. Making sure that my whole body took a gentle trip.
Full immersion.
Through the pool on the ground.
Nice.
Do you know what I didn't feel like anymore at that point?
What?
An advert for running.
A slow fall.
Yeah, that's life, isn't it? That's the yin and yang of life.
But I've always... I worked in a supermarket when I was a kid, and I quite liked it. I just think it's going to be one of those things that I do when I, here we go, when I stop doing gigs and stuff.
I have to say,
I just like it.
I think it might not quite be as, thanks, and not quite be as nice as you imagine. I've got one word to say to you.
We'll see.
Allotment.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know, but the allotment's different because with the supermarket, you don't have to do anything. You just have to turn up. Obviously, you've got to work when you're there.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I want to be one of those cheerful blokes who doesn't know where anything is, but will walk you around looking for it.
You get sacked.
I want to be that guy.
Mind you, I suppose, they always let Richard Whiteley present Countdown, didn't they?
I used to be adept at wasting time when I worked at a supermarket. I just dropped things and then spent ages clearing them up. That was a good one. Just launching bottles into the aisles and smashing them and then... ages looking for the mop. Then there was a game where you jump onto the boxes to flatten the boxes for recycling.
Oh,
that was a right laugh.
I do that in the kitchen at home.
That was a real laugh. I used to get up in the morning and clean the floors at Hinton's with one of those. Sort of like, you know, one of those cleaners that you'd sit in and dry
around. Yeah, round and flat like a little hovercraft. Brilliant. Did it have little flashing lights on it?
Beep, beep.
Was it like the little truck that Austin Powers gets stuck in the corridor with?
Beep, beep.
Where's Duncanson? He's in the canned vegetable aisle.
Beep, 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 beep. Those were the days.
Beep, beep. There's a nice bit in your set where you're in a supermarket.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm buzzing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice head. Just realised.
I've just always liked them. I found them very relaxing.
I had an actual stress dream last night.
Yeah.
I think it's because I was doing a gig. I was doing Oxford Glee.
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
Right.
It was a nice gig. And actually it was, as considering I had a technical hitch, it could have gone a lot worse because my pedals just suddenly stopped working.
Right.
So they worked and I did my bit and I did a whole thing. And then they just died. And then I did some stuff with the guitar. And then the guitar died. And I was like, oh, well, done my time. Thank you very much. But it was all good fun, you know. Good enough that everyone was saying, oh, it's all pretend, isn't it? It's not working. It's all a big trick.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
No. And but I had a friend in who I hadn't seen for years.
Yeah.
Come to see me and see what I do. And apparently, friend with a connection to Ed Sheeran.
All right.
So really nice to be able to show everything I can do with my new pedal to that audience member.
Yeah, that's good.
But then I'm in denial about that kind of relevance anyway, because what do people you went to school with really think of your act?
Yeah.
They never really think it's a proper thing, do they?
No, even the... Can we nip over there? To
wherever
even
you
the the idea that you're still doing it, I think we've kind of crested that thing of like... You know, they're obviously doing it forever.
Yeah, it's not
and
a hobby.
Even, but that even compounds the mystery surrounding it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
This is actually, this is it now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what you've done.
There is a funny thing when people come to the gig, and it's a tough one because it's so nice when people are excited for you to come along. But when they start sort of like including in the dialogue and the build-up.
Yes.
It's just 3 weeks now until you come. Yeah. It's like, yeah, and in that 3 weeks,
yeah,
I'll do a dozen other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the night, I'm banging to Till then.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so last night, this morning, it turns out my stuff is all fine. So it's
fine. That's good.
It's all fine. I'm sure it's fine.
This is a beatific little English scene, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
They've
laid out the cricket square, and people are sitting around it. Is there going to be some kind of games? Because they're all surrounding the cricket square. And you said, let's go over here.
People stretching.
Look where you took us. We're heading for that.
Yeah, people stretching. There's a
point again. That's nice of the point. Gives us a real sense of it.
This is the cafe where I bumped into old Liam Gallagher. All right, mate.
There he is. All right, mate.
It's where we have the Heathside handicap spinning around the old Highgate Woods. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is great.
Do you know this runner over here, the guy in the red T-shirt? Yeah, it's good.
I will do. Yeah, I will do.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Clive.
Yes, Clive.
Clive's always out this time.
You made up Clive, didn't
you? Yeah. He had a very chugging kind of running style, didn't he?
Arms up.
Chugger.
I like to keep my feet up. That's my new tip to myself.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's why a lot of people stop running, you know, as they get old.
Because
they keep falling over, and it's obviously dangerous.
Do you know, I've fallen over like twice ever.
Right.
No, three times ever, really. And at the time when I did it, when I wasn't with you, was when in serious mud, it was like running on ice.
Right.
I think it's something to do with the sunny weather, because you remember when I went down on the towpath?
Yes, yeah. I had one run where I fell over like five times in one run once. It was all I could do.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So I checked my emails just then.
All right.
If there's any news from Acast on the problem with the podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing. No news.
Nothing as yet. Can I be so egotistical, indulgent to ask how the London podcast sounded? Just because I haven't listened to it yet, and you obviously you listened to it because I was aware at the time that it was quite sort of out there, wasn't it, at times?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how did it span?
Well, just at a technical level, it only just came together.
Right.
Steve had to put it together.
Did we lose a couple of miles?
Yeah, we lost a couple of miles around 17 to 19, and then after that, I sounded weird.
Right.
The saddest thing about that, the heartbreaking thing about that for me, was no Deerings.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, that was I thought about that, because that was quite a nice... That was a really... Here he comes.
Apart from you bumping into... Oh, it's Clive.
Yeah.
Apart from you bumping into that bloke. Hi! Yeah. Out of the way!
Yeah.
But the wonderful thing about it was, just as we found, is that in the end, you know, in that last few miles, we just go to a different place where
right, yeah.
you can hear you. The only thing I always thought was funny listening to it, it sounds like I'm I might be really struggling because you offer so much general support.
Yeah, but yeah, I think to everyone. Meter eyes, that was to all the other runners. It wasn't me.
No, and I don't think anyone thought that except me. But listening to the thing, it's like, all right, come on, all right. Yeah. I've just got a mental image of myself going, oh, help me. But it really was lovely. And honestly, you know, it's been lovely everyone getting in touch, and I really think we did kind of bottle something there, because not as in drop out for fear, but
the sort of increasing intensity of the experience.
That's right. Yeah. And that last straight, I mean, it's it was it. It sounds like it, you know.
Yes.
Listening to it, I found it pretty. I felt really. It was an intense experience listening back to it. It was brilliant, but I was kind of felt like I'd done the marathon again.
Yeah, because it's, I don't know what we've said before, but you got the idea that you're going to be able to do some kind of journalistic exploration of what it is to run the marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you end up just moaning and making noises and shouting at people.
But right from the first moment, that's exactly the thing. That was the thing that we learned from it, wasn't it? It's just, we saw clearly how much of yourself you give over to it.
Yes, you have
to. And from mile one as well.
Yeah.
Not just at the end there.
Yeah.
It's all you think about.
And the crowd, crowd's a huge part.
Yeah, that's right. You are surfing that all the way. Yeah.
But I don't think I've enjoyed the last few miles of a marathon more, actually.
No.
Even though I was, of course, tired, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. You forget how
it was a really
enjoyable it is, you know.
It was the perfect kind of distraction, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think at that moment, we felt... like we weren't distracted at all because we'd, like you say, we'd stopped, you know, telling stories and talking in full sentences.
Yeah.
But still that externalisation, that sense of being with each other in the crowd.
Yeah, it just helped.
It kept us out of the psychological tunnel.
It really helped.
And that's is healthy.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking at a much more technical level is way beyond my skills. But what we need to do, I was going to say next, but next is too strong a word. What we need to do one day... to get someone on board who knows how to live stream that.
Right.
So that you not just hear us running an event like that, but be able to share in it as it's happening.
Yes, yeah.
So,
no, it's good fun. It'd be nice to do different.
But I can't work my own guitar pedal, so.
Let's take it.
Did you notice, by the way, we're just going through the far side of Highgate Wood from the road, and it's cool. There's
really
like a drop in temperature under the trees. It's just gorgeous. The birds are singing. Very nice.
We're really under the cosh at the moment in terms of exam pressure.
Oh, thank you.
Mate, that's very kind.
Clive loves the podcast.
Clive loves the podcast, even though it's not called Clive.
Yeah. We're called Clive.
If only he knew.
Clive, you are the man in Highgate Wood with the red t-shirt.
Only he knew what a big character he was within the podcast.
if you want us to rectify the name, just get in touch and let us know that your actual name is not Clive. That was a good scene. Did you see that?
Yeah. There's a talking down off a
tots
off a tree
in high vis. One of the tots who it should be noticed. Woo-hoo. He's not wearing his high.
No, he's not.
He's sitting on a high tree stump with a proper face on.
Looking
really
miserable.
The kind of face which on a grown-up would look fictional.
Yes.
But he really meant it.
Exaggerated
now turned
misery.
Down at the end. Avoiding the eye contact to the grown-up who was there.
Stood a yard in
failing
front of
to talk him down.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. Kid wins. Yeah. I love the way there's always a little rash of high-vis tots in these woods.
Yes. Little tots, armies of tots.
How the family has it all going at home?
Well, no, we've had a nightmare.
Oh, great.
He's doing his O-levels.
GCSEs. and have been since 89.
Yeah. He's taking his...
left or right?
I think we're going to go left.
Great.
And he's been struggling for ages.
Yeah.
But he's finally started to do some revision, but it's... We had a nightmare the other week because it was dress-up day on Friday.
Right.
Which is a thing
I think
where...
it's called cosplay these days.
Yeah. This thing where kids can... They just wear whatever they want to for a day.
Right.
And it's also linked with the normally... get drunk afterwards and go to the top field. It's a day of sort of... It's like one of those sort of American films where school's out for summer and everyone goes crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything gets a little bit out of hand.
But for some reason...
It's a perfect situation for, to use the Scottish phrase from my grandma-in-law, noddy comes to cloddy.
What does
that's where something exciting and good is happening. And it goes too far and it's disaster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Noddy comes to Cloddy.
And not only, and it's also, for some reason in their wisdom, they've timed it the Friday before exams start on the Monday.
Yeah, good. Well,
just absolute lunacy.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Rudy was very excited about this because he's at that school where they don't really cater for sort of creative kids who want to spin around on their head all the time. And I get that because it must be hard to cater for. He's undoubtedly hard work at school.
But on the other hand, at my school, you could do spinning around on your head as a GCSE.
Yeah. Yeah, the exams are great for that.
Yeah.
Lay down a bit of plastic and go for it. So he's had a bit of... He's never really felt nurtured there. While simultaneously being hard work. There's always a caveat. I'm aware of that.
He hasn't exactly nurtured them.
No. It's been a mutually antagonistic process. And so he turns up to dress up day. In choosing his outfit, he decided to go as a weed superhero. So he wears a green outfit with cape, sunglasses, and a big cannabis leaf on his chest.
I say, I'm so square. For a minute there, I was thinking like a nerd, like Clark Kent.
No, now
I've got the idea.
You've got the idea.
Yeah.
He's very excited about this. Do you think this might attract attention, Rudy? No, they said we can wear whatever we want.
Yeah.
I know, but do you really...
The way in which I choose to interpret it is the way that it's going to be.
Yeah. He's, but his mates turn up dressed as pimps. It's all go.
Yeah.
And they've got alcohol upon their person, as most of the kids have going to school that day, even though they've been told expressly not to drink alcohol at school.
Not least because they're 16.
Yeah.
And at school.
Yeah. But it's, we'll get into that later, the consistency of this thing. But he, you know the end. He gets found with booze on him at school and gets kicked out.
And got in trouble?
And gets kicked out.
Of school forever or just that day or what? That's you in the robe swing.
Just that day, the weed superhero gets kicked out. At 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely distraught. Because it's his best day of the year. It's the year where they get to goof around and sign each other's costumes and take photos. And, do you know, just absolutely couldn't have been... It couldn't have hurt him more.
But the weird bit is the surprise, isn't it? Because it's like, it's Freudian, isn't it? It's like there's no accident. So surely at some level, he chose that reality. That was going to happen.
I don't know.
It's a funny thing, isn't it?
Well, no, he's got... The truth of the matter is, his sister was downing shots with the biology teacher on her dressing up.
I see, so consistency.
There's no consistency.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say to him, if you mess around all year, they're not going to give you a break on the day when you want them to give you a break.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how the world works.
It's not, they
were fine with Bonnie because she's a star student and she gets on with them.
She earned it.
Yeah, she earned it. So
it's a bit of give and take.
Yeah, but it's a tough lesson to learn. And he was, he wanted to go back into school and kick off with the teachers. Like, please don't do that because you will end up getting into loads of trouble.
You'll end up going to prison.
Yeah,
not you'll prison, end up, but you know, the police station.
Well, no, you'll end up getting maybe permanently excluded.
Yeah.
He's still got to do his exams. Luckily, his mate got kicked out of school as well.
Ah.
He was dressed as an Arab, so he got kicked out. So the Arab and the weed superhero got kicked out. And that made it a bit better. But still, it was just an awful day. So we've been just, ever since then, he's been just simmering with rage.
And it's almost as if, to some extent, the school are responsible for that.
It's just weird timing, isn't it? It's a weird thing to do. Because you've got kids of... Rudy's Instagram feed's full of kids obviously drinking booze at school.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just sort of like... Just bad timing.
Yeah, and
it's a weird thing to invite. It is a weird thing to say to kids. Let's go absolutely crazy. But if we catch you doing this, you're out. So it's a weird thing.
You can't go crazy without drinking. If you can't go crazy without drinking, then you can't go crazy in school, can you?
Yeah, it's sort of.
If those two things go hand in hand, then neither of those hands should be in school.
Kids have 16-year-old kids drink.
They drink.
And but the thing is, you can't do anything about it. So that's it. He's just got to swallow it and get on with it and do his
exams.
What,
the drink?
Yeah. Swallow it really quickly.
Swallow it just for the exam. Yeah.
So we've just been dealing with that. And then getting him to actually commit to exams beyond that when everything's ruined.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just what we didn't need, really. But he's calmed down a little.
Is he doing exams this very
he's
week?
Doing exams, he'll be doing his exams right now. He's got biology. With the biology teacher doing shots, probably, in the cupboard.
Yeah, why not? My son's off school today. He's got an horrible cold.
All right, okay.
He got it when he went swimming. Trying to get him to go swimming on a regular basis. It's just something so filthy about swimming pools. It's a shame. He's a lovely swimmer. And it's good exercise.
Is he all right?
Yeah, well, he's at home now.
Right. Yeah.
But it's nice when he will enjoy that. It feels like I want to segue into a joke about bad parenting, but, you know, he's 14, he'll enjoy having the house to himself. He will
just enjoy your day off, yeah.
Very little.
Yeah.
And his glasses broke as well, so he can't do anything, can't see.
he's man down, isn't
he? Yeah, exactly.
At the moment.
And he was too ill to go to school, really, and me and Judy were kind of exchanging looks at each other, trying to be the, you know,
who makes the final call on that?
Well, then his glasses broke.
Right, yeah.
And he didn't not go to school because his glasses broke, but he couldn't have got through a day ill at school.
Yes.
Without his glasses. So I was like, okay.
It was a straw that, it was the glasses that broke the son's back.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Bless him.
Game over.
Meanwhile, my daughter
has
been invited. The teachers are having a union meeting.
Yeah.
And they've invited some of the kids from school to report to them on what to do about climate change after all the Extinction Rebellion stuff.
Yes, yeah. That's
so that,
nice.
That really has changed the conversation.
That's
she's
nice.
Been, you know, she's written a speech.
Right.
And she's giving to teachers.
That's interesting.
And some other kids are going, but not many, and they're all older than her. It's amazing how political and debating my daughter's got in recent times. It feels so her, but it's brand new.
Yes, yeah.
She wasn't on that page a year ago.
It's amazing how polar opposite our kids are in relation to this education.
Well, but my
kids... What you need for that is a weed superhero.
Yeah, that's right. That's what she's going to say.
That's what the teachers wanted. That's what they wanted
hemp.
To see.
What about hemp? Weed edibles. Come on, get on it. Ultimately.
That's great, mate.
Yeah. But it is... I suppose the crossover is that they are still... It feels like their best stuff is still extracurricular.
Right.
Something about the great drift... of school, it's like to get the best out of it.
You have to do something else.
You have to do something next to it.
No, you're right because schools are exam factories.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing more. I mean, Rudy got given a bit of his exam paper last night for his exam this morning. His teacher just said, "Listen, not all schools know this. This is going to come up tomorrow." So read just a section of it. Get your head around this, and this is so many marks you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Rudy still couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, tore it
that's
up.
He honestly couldn't be bothered with
praise.
It. Is another issue. But the fact that that's happening shows
so
how...
So the teacher led the horse to the water.
Yeah.
Said, here's some water, do this.
Yeah. And the horse is like, I'm thirsty, I'm going to my room. So, but at the same time, I suppose it makes you understand that... The teachers, whose job relies on getting decent results, when the kids can't even be bothered to cheat.
And for the... you want to get in touch with Felicity Huffman, she'll get you through those exams.
Oh, yeah, she's looking at 4 months, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll be...
More
Oranges Than New Black than Desperate Housewives. Yeah. Oh, I can do that tonight at my topical news show.
That's
more Oranges Than New Black than Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, she's... That was a big outcry, wasn't it?
It's so beautiful today. We're curling up now onto Ali Pali. Look at the greenery. My word.
It is one of those glorious days.
Yeah.
We're both in a fairly decent place with our running at the moment, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
I don't feel particularly... I feel like my foot sort of niggling problems a bit better. I'm dealing with it better.
Yeah.
Injury free for a few months.
Touch wood.
Had good fun in London.
Yeah. I found something different in London. And it's like, it's always good, I think, getting philosophical about it, that we sort of worry about repetition and finding new things. But we always do. So the good and the bad thing about life is have this artificial idea that there's stasis and things are the same. And they never are.
No.
For better or worse, the river just flows
Absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and you feel like, oh, we've got a lovely island here.
Changes inevitably.
But that island is still floating down the river.
Yeah.
I did... it was an incredible week the marathon week for me.
Yeah.
We did it, and then we went out for that giddy run in the sun on Hackney Marshes.
Yeah.
Had a really gorgeous wedding anniversary moment with the family. We drank champagne and watched... What's happening behind us? That's a skateboard.
Yeah.
Kept thinking a car was coming.
No, no.
Let's get a picture of this picture of London.
Yeah.
It's just too good to miss.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mean, looking down from the front steps of Ali Pally across London.
That is great.
It's just gorgeous.
London.
Under baby. And we'll get one with us
London
to ruin it.
London town.
City of Sin. London. City of Sin. There we are. Is that your neighbour in his car? Yeah, so, and then I went off to do some gigs.
Yeah.
And I did a work in progress, new material.
Oh, yeah, I remember chatting to you about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I had it, you know, I always had it lined up. And I'm not going to do a new show at the Edinburgh Festival, so it's very much early days. It's like a little sketchbook, you know.
Right.
And I sat down the day after the marathon and kind of wrote a show.
Yeah.
No, I'll do this, and this. Oh.
That's great.
And then I went to Coventry, and they've got a brand new comedy festival. And I was on... First.
Right.
First show of a brand new comedy festival in Coventry.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
And how did it go?
Yeah, great.
That sounds good, mate.
People, it's funny.
Yeah.
And then I went to Tamworth and did the opposite. I did like a sports and social club with a fantastic audience. It was so lovely.
Yeah.
And I did all my classics, all my greatest hits.
They are nice there, aren't they? Yeah.
Just joy. Went to my aforementioned friend's gorgeous house in the country. And then into McCunkleith. You haven't been to McCunkleith Comedy Festival, have you? Have you been?
I've never been, no.
It's so nice. I mean, pure ego. It's just nice to wander around town and have people go, hey, Rob.
Yeah,
there goes Rob Deering.
You do that a lot, don't you? They love you.
But then they love everyone. It's because you've got a lot of comedy and a lot of very kind of curated comedy in a teeny-weeny town.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you put the biggest comedy fans in there. Most comedians are most going to appreciate that in the same space and have some fun, you know. So again, I did the same work in progress. And what was good about that was it was really nice to do it as a teeny weeny mini tour to take the two shows and just slightly learn something from the Friday on the Saturday, you know.
Right.
And all these lovely people, and they were a great audience. But the main thing I learned, I mean, in terms of material, once we all had a good time, once the dust settled, I'm like, I'm not sure there's anything here after all. I just feel like I've got the chops to turn a few rough ideas into an hour of entertainment.
Yes, you learn.
That's not nothing, but it's not the same as having an hour of new material.
No, you learn to get better at being on stage doing nothing, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
That's sort of what being a great comic can be. Padding.
It's part of the skill set.
The illusion that something's going on.
And but equally, it's so long since I've done that, since I've gone on stage with nothing for an hour.
It's great to stretch.
I saw the difference in myself. I just felt like a different person.
Yes, yeah.
And that was interesting.
No, it's really good.
And then I did my game show in the night time, and that was wonderful. Really lovely people in the audience, so interactive. There's a bit where a bloke stood up and sang Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of almost out of nowhere, stood up and turned and sang it to the whole audience. And
nice,
it was beautiful. So anyway, by the middle of last week, talking about the marathon, post-marathon slump being sort of 3-4 days later, it was more... 2 weeks later, really. It's more of a come down.
Really?
You have to come down.
It's more of a sort of... it's a recalibration after you've done the marathon, is it? Because it chips away some things in your life that were unnecessary, isn't it? The process of running it kind of hones you down a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, you slough off
it. Clarifies some
layer
of thought,
skin,
doesn't it? It's just like, this isn't necessary. This is, I want to do this more.
Yeah.
It's quite good on a kind of... purely sort of self-exploratory level, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Just like that expenditure of physical and mental energy, it just centres you a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But then also, when you get, if you get good clarity, you have a lovely time. Then the trouble with the come down is, you just get that feeling that says, "Yeah, so."
You've got to enact it.
You know, I spent a week doing the three corners of pillars of my existence, which I already know I love, which is. Running, family, comedy, right?
Yes, yeah.
And if I can really lean into the wind of those, which I did, it's like, well, this is great. It's like, la!
Yeah.
And then that week's over and another week starts, and it's like, what do you do now?
But we're talking about life. What's now? Hence the need for drama.
I felt
going to do something really stupid.
I was really thinking about
and daft.
Poor Keith Flint. Bless him. I just haven't really stopped thinking about him. And you know, and I just... Well, obviously, just it was too hard, you know.
Yeah.
He's so hard. And to think of him... Did you know he got his parkrun PB?
Yes, I've heard, yeah.
And then just, it was just, you know...
What, a few days before?
Just days before.
Yes, yeah.
He died.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
And just...
Poor fellow.
These are the ups and downs, you know, the most... It's an old saw, but the most pertinent thing about suicide is it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
But that's all, it's so easy to say. And I also think about life, you know, that we were just saying, the yin and yang of it.
Life is almost a temporary process to a permanent problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And everything's going to die.
Everything's good and bad all at once. Yeah. It really is. And that's the thing. I get old. I was thinking of maybe when, trying to just put myself in Cleveland's shoes, just thinking when Prodigy's second album came out, you know, Music for the Jilted Generation, it was the sound of an entire group of people saying, yeah, forget it. I don't like your mainstream. We don't like your... End of the Thatcher era, John Major,
right.
Jacques Delors shenanigans. We're going to go and literally go and dance in a field instead.
Yeah.
You know, and that caught the public mood. We were going, yeah! And, you know, it was all tied in with, I don't know, Britpop and Tony Blair, Spice Girls even. And it must have just felt like riding this incredible wave of change and everything was going to be great.
And then the rave ended and everyone thinks, we could buy this field.
Yeah. And then suddenly you turn around and it's now and everything's different and everything's the same. It's just... Yeah. None of the solutions seem to stick. But I do sometimes think that none of the problems are probably going to stick quite as hard as they look like they're going to either, you know.
No, it's... Well, you got... Well, as you said, the minute you've... Not the minute, but a couple of days after you finish a big run. It's nice to get something else in, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Something else in.
And also, it's the lovely to have, you know, to have someone to have a comedy gig to do or a family to go home to, whatever it might be.
And also,
someone you can go into your house and have a totally unreasonable go at.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Where's the milk?
But you've also got to remember about the rave thing. It's just like, it was a big old laugh, but in the back room of a lot of those outdoor raves, was fairly shady characters with
that's right.
with weaponry counting hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yes, and anyone who is kind of psychologically still at that rave is probably not in a good place.
I do think there's a lot of links between ex-ravers and running, though. I mean, I feel it.
I don't think people have made that connection as much as I would have thought they would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the reason why I rerun. It's certainly like the first thing. It's just from putting my playlist together.
Yeah.
It was kind of the first thing I noticed about running, really.
Yes, yeah. And on the day that coming under Blackfire Bridge and the house music and everyone screaming and stuff, it's just like being in a big old rave.
Yeah.
I've also, like, after races... I nearly called races.
Same thing. That's
you feel so chilled
out.
You're just talking to everyone.
But
it's just like
you're just saying you've got like rave and race. It's only one that different.
Yeah. Let's have a rave.
Are you thinking then of me sitting with my head in my hands in that hospitality tent going, Ed Gamble on the phone and me, I was kind of wandering around chuckling and clutching my own head.
Cramping.
And Ed Gamble was talking on the phone, but he stopped and just said to me, You're right, mate.
Yeah.
It's nice when people look after each other.
60,000 hardcore racers.
I'll never forget that guy. When we came off onto the pavement for a second at about 19 miles because you had something stuck to the bottom of your foot. And the guy hadn't noticed the two of us. He just saw the two of us. Peter saw me as one of us coming up onto the pavement and he said, "You're right." And he really meant it.
Yeah.
That was absolutely wonderful. I felt so looked after.
But you get that, don't you? At a good rave. I mean, race.
Yeah.
At the London Marathon. You get that. It's funny, there seems to be little...
It's a community experience.
Yeah, but there's different sort of psychological pockets that seem to happen. Because
they were a great band, weren't they?
Because when we were the psych pockets were great. But when we nipped over to see the Deerings on the podcast, which unfortunately didn't come out, we stepped in front of someone, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he was quite sharp with us.
Yeah.
And I was quite sharp with him. I think there's something about that 17 to 19 mile thing where you're crossing over into a bit of a different mindset.
And also, but
and
I
can lock people in a little bit.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think maybe it's the opposite. Maybe what you're doing is you strip away that layer of skin. You put yourself in a vulnerable position.
Yeah, maybe it comes from
and
vulnerability.
And basically, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
I think if you spent another 30 seconds with that bloke, you'd go, I'm sorry, and you'd go, sorry, and you'd suck
of course, but
I love you, mate.
But it can get a bit snippy, can't it? But,
oh, yeah.
But the atmosphere at 23 miles is totally different.
Well, Noddy can come to Cloddy.
Yeah.
You know, the moment of great excitement.
We're all helping each
Suddenly
other.
Suddenly you get chucked out of school and you're drinking the park with someone dressed up as an Arab.
Tell you what, Noddy wasn't happy that day.
And that's the other side of it, isn't it? When you look at the world and you think, no one cares, no one understands. You know, it's that feeling of, it's not really a strong enough word, but I've just seen you wearing your marathon shoes. They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great. Thank you, New Balance.
Feeling of disenfranchisement, feeling like that sense that you were in a club was fake and that everyone else is on a completely different page to you.
Yeah.
It's a kind of terrifying one. That's the one I don't like.
What do you mean?
Well, when you sometimes when you look at the world, you know, look at the news or the internet, whatever it is, and you feel like everyone's like, yeah, this is what we think. And I think, I don't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, at all. I don't understand. not kind of, oh, I see where they're coming from, but this is how I feel. Kind of, no, I don't see where they're coming from.
Right.
I don't understand in my heart why this is happening. I'm not giving you any specifics because let's not get into it. Look at Ali Pally in the sunshine. We were just there.
But social media's one to avoid, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the nice thing about social media is I can find people on Facebook who agree with me about modern life and I can't find them on the telly.
Yeah. Well, you can't interact with them on the telly.
No, that's right. And they're not also not on the news.
Yeah. No. Social media can be great for positive things, finding like-minded. Or for the runner.
Yeah.
For the running community, it's fantastic.
It's funny how
just everything
Facebook
else.
Is trying to kind of algorithm it down. They're like, you sure you want to tell everyone or do you want to tell your friends?
Right.
And everyone is my friends.
Yeah.
I don't recognise the difference there. Which my friends hate. Yeah. Oh, hear the birds in the woods there. It's like being in the jungle. It's gorgeous. I'm sorry we're not doing this run.
This is
weird. Of course, the 10K goes up there, doesn't it?
It does.
The other side of the field there.
I'll be here on Sunday shouting at people to and getting shouted at in return.
You know what might happen to you on Sunday?
Shut up, Marshall.
I'm hoping that someone in a running commentary top says thank you, Marshall, to you.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That'd be great.
Do you know what I've noticed with the thank you, Marshall phenomena?
Yeah.
It started off with you, actually. You brought it up. It was a really nice observation. Sometimes people say thank you, Marshall, during races in a way that feels a bit pointed, as if to say, why are you saying thank
like
you,
like a
Marshall?
Criticism of the other races.
Yeah. And also revelling in how much energy they've got to spare in thanking the Marshall so fulsomely. And then people,
and it must be made clear at that point that I always said I thank Marshalls, and
it's quite nice to thank
we're very grateful to Marshalls. That's not
the issue. To be honest, I didn't always thank the Marshalls because sometimes I was too knackered to thank the Marshalls.
Yeah.
I've always appreciated them, but I've communicated through blinking or a half wave or whatever. But then the cycle of it, I found people saying thank you, Marshall, almost slightly ironically, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But now I feel it's gone full circle, and I honestly feel that more people are thanking Marshalls.
Well, it's a lovely ending.
Because I am now thanking the Marshalls.
And
it's a result of what you said.
Yeah.
It's keyed into me. And it's unironically, I'm just thanking the Marshalls all the time.
And ultimately, that process is correct, isn't it? Because when you think right back to the initial dialogue, the occasional pedantic, passive-aggressive Marshall thanker is as nothing to the efforts and the gratitude
of the Marshall. Absolutely.
So
it's a lovely little
just a reminder to
circle of love. Yeah, it's really nice. We are. I do now thank the Marshalls.
At last.
And not only that.
I think more and more.
I am now a Marshall.
Yay! I have yet to meet someone in a non-directed scenario wearing one of our tops. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of people. It's great that everyone's got them and stuff. and if they haven't got the size you want, it's coming soon.
But is it coming, is it?
I think that... Oh, don't go in the back of the rubbish truck. But I'm looking forward to bumping into someone. You know, the more middle of nowhere, the better.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah.
So where does this week take you? Where are you going?
I'm going to cook them.
Right.
On Thursday. I'm going to eat them on Friday morning.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a gig in Cookham on Thursday.
Where is Cookham?
It's out in Berkshire. I don't think it's very far out of town.
Okay, right.
And then I'm doing Manchester Comedy Store.
Nice.
Friday, Saturday night.
Nice.
Manchester Half Marathon.
Nice.
Sunday morning.
And what are you after with the half marathon?
I would like to do it faster than I did that Alston Park.
Yes, right.
And I'd like to feel like I was doing the same thing, taking it kind of easy. I want to find some accidentalish pace, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to feel loose enough and fit enough that I can...
Do you want to try and negative split it or what? Or?
Exactly. Well, yeah. The Alston Park was, it was you said, it was a five lapper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was you who said, when... Just do the last two faster.
Yeah.
So I think I'll set off and try and find a nice, easy feeling, steady pace.
Yeah.
Which, judging me on my own in marathons, half marathons, will probably be a...
Way too fast.
Yeah, fast, but also somewhere in the middle, you know, not as slow as this, not as fast as the parkrun. I kind of say 8:10.
Right.
But I won't be looking at a watch trying to hit 8:10.
Right.
I'll just be hoping that
I feel it. Just
drift into 8:10.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, keep that up for 10 miles or what's half, you know, 6.5 miles.
Yeah.
And then look at, if I feel good, picking it up a bit, finish strong.
Because it's so nice, isn't it? It's so nice to be a... To be a slicer through the field at the end,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
As opposed to someone who's getting just overhauled by everyone. And I've been both.
Yeah. Well, I think that just even hearing myself say it then, it sounds too directional. What I want to do is run out and run well.
Yeah.
And put in a couple of the... common sense things like don't go too fast, but don't worry about getting a bit of pace, and then try and finish strong. Use what I've got as in the late stages.
Yeah.
And then
just have a nice strong run.
I'd love
with
to
it.
Do it and then turn around and see how fast it was. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Run it however I want to run it.
Yeah.
And see how fast that turns out to be.
Just out of interest.
Say exactly. Yeah. I didn't get my time at Alston Park. I don't know why I didn't. Something went wrong with my timing chip.
But you were about 1:43, were you?
I think it was 1:44 from the clock.
Okay, yeah.
And which was nice, but I'm feeling pretty fit and strong and kind of creeping back to my former pace.
Well, you know you are.
And my long-term half marathon average is 1:35.
Yeah.
So somewhere between
sharp.
Those, I'd just like it to be moving from the 1:44 towards the 1:35, I suppose.
Yeah.
And all the actual half marathons I've run at 1:35 were exactly like that. I just ran them how I wanted to run them.
Yeah.
And then turned around and went, oh!
Just run how you feel, a nice, have a nice little surprise, yeah.
The difference between now and then would be I never would have finished those strong.
Yeah.
I definitely would have included a fade.
You'd have been hanging on, yeah.
So I think if there's anything that I'm going to actually stage manage, it would be to hold more back early on and put more in late on.
Yeah, because I always think that you lose more from a fade. I think you gain more from a strong finish.
Yeah.
Because I think the fade psychologically is you're physically deteriorating and psychologically.
Yeah.
And it's just more harmful in terms of your overall pace.
It's also different kinds of fades, aren't there? I mean, I think that a couple of times at the Yorkshire Marathon, I faded and known I was fading.
Right.
And kind of forgiven myself.
Yeah.
And as a result, it's been a very mild fade.
Yeah.
Rather than dropping off or stopping, all you're doing is slowing down a little bit so that you can make it.
yeah, totally.
And,
that's quite
attritional. Feels different.
It's attritional in a different way to a half, isn't it?
In a way, when you fade like that, you're still running as fast as you can. It's just
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can't run
you're,
quite
you're,
as fast
you're putting
as
in the same effort to less results, sort of thing.
Yeah. But I think it's always important to remember how far a half is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I keep saying this.
It's easy to underestimate.
But it was Kate Carter who said it shouldn't be called a half marathon. Because it's just, it kind of disses the distance right from the off. And it's a really challenging distance.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly if you're feeling fit and you can go out and run 10 or whatever. When you get out there, you get to that, I don't know, I was going to say that 90-minute point, but it could be 1:45, it could be 1:15.
Yeah, yeah. You get to about 9 miles and it's still a way to go, isn't it?
Unless you get to a point where you run everything out, you run all the fuel out of your body and all the readiness out of yourself, and you've got, like you say, you've got another 3-4 miles to go.
Yeah.
And you've got to pull it out. It's a great discipline.
Yeah, it is. It's a good
one. When I say you've got to pull it out, not like that guy in that American one got arrested.
Yeah.
Pull it out.
So how's shonky knee hip?
My hips, the old deep ache. Thanks,
cheers,
guys.
Mate.
Sorry.
Cheers.
It's ongoing. Doesn't get worse, doesn't get better.
Right.
I've got a bit of a sharp pain above my right knee, which I feel really complicated because I've got some nerve damage there.
Right.
So when I get pain, I'm like, great.
Right.
The pain's coming through.
Bring back the nerves, yeah.
But that seems fine. I've had a little bit of the one that's most worrying, just because it's the least familiar,
right,
is some aching down around my right ankle and heel.
Right.
That's when I think, oh, take it easy.
Yeah.
So the other thing, I looked down a couple of days after the London Marathon and proper black toenail.
Really?
Well, that's a runner's experience, isn't it? When you look down, you see that and think, woo!
Yeah.
It's a real kind of point of pride.
Yes, yeah. So you're going to have a day off and chill a little bit this week?
I'm never having a day off.
Never?
Why would I have a day off?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? So I think, I was... Initially this week was going to be something like 7:73. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then the half around on Sunday. But now we're going to be 6:07 Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
So I'll see how I feel tomorrow and I'll see what my wife's up to, because maybe I could go for a medium, go for like a 5 on Thursday.
Yeah. And I'll be staying in an Airbnb in Sefton Park. Probably running Sefton Park Run, actually.
Yeah.
Just out of pure laziness.
We should see what
I'm going to race up.
I'll get back to
a little tear up around there.
Chris, see what he's doing. Maybe you can check in with one of
us. Yeah.
Listeners. I'm looking forward to it. It's a nice place to run the ball. It'd be good for you to be up there.
Yeah.
I'd be sad, like when I was in Wales, even though I'm obviously doing a half marathon, I'd be sad to be in Manchester and not do one of my usual runs.
Yes, yeah, because it's
up
nice.
The way.
Yeah. I've actually never been off and stayed in an Airbnb before.
Oh, thanks.
How lame is that?
It can be absolutely fantastic. It can be a bit depressing as well.
Right. Especially because I'm inherently tight, so I'm looking for a cheap option. So it gets. I imagine it gets more depressing the less you spend.
Well, yeah, and also
does it work like that?
It's a bit sad because they want it to be nice, you know.
Yeah.
I stayed in a kind of spare bedroom in a guy's flat in Leeds recently, and it was nicely done out. It's just like a nicely done out cell, you know?
Right, yeah.
You look pretty and clean.
Yeah.
It's a single bed with one pillow and a thin duvet. You just feel like you're lying to yourself about how nice it is. It's always better when it's rubbish so that you can go, yeah, that's right.
I'm roughing it.
Yeah.
There's a joy in roughing it. In some ways more the pretense that this is salubrious.
My best worst Airbnb experience was New York, where it's exactly where I want it to be. I was like 5 minutes from Times Square. It was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
It had one window out to a kind of light well, really depressing kind of dead pigeon scenario.
Right.
And the heating was up and on. It couldn't open the window. Just like dry, hot air all the time. Just lying on the bed on top of the covers going,
you relax.
Getting dehydrated, but you know, I managed to dehydrate myself for 72 straight hours before the marathon. And the bathroom, they did apologise when I got my key, but there were two big, like, you know when people knock through the tiles and then tape it over with like bin bags?
Nice.
Two big holes like that on the bathroom walls.
Classy, brilliant.
Once I got in the bathroom when there was no one in,
right,
and managed to get in the shower.
Right.
Cold. Stone cold.
Right.
Stone cold. A couple other times, I really needed to go to the toilet because of all the water I was drinking because of the
sounds like
hot air.
Appalling prep.
And then you could hear someone else, another Airbnb client, hear someone having a long, steamy, enjoyable shower, the like of which I somehow couldn't get myself.
I thought you were going to say something else.
For ages.
Right.
And meanwhile, thinking, oh God, why is there only one toilet? And then never interacting with any of these people, though occasionally through the crack in another bedroom door, seeing that one eye. Kind of, that's Airbnb.
Yeah.
But you know what the happy upside of that is?
Yeah.
I blagged myself free membership at a local gym.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
So I went there for my last taper run.
Yeah. And a decent shower.
Proper shower. And I did. Yeah. I went and did all my stretching and showering there after the marathon. Whoop, whoop. That's... And now they're always emailing me with offers. But I can't. I think it's a good gym for me to become a member of because it's in New York.
We've actually had a... Oh, sorry.
See
mate.
Ya.
Lost him. Other side.
See ya, Paul.
Other side of the lorry. We've actually had a shout. Yeah. We've had a reach out.
You've had a what?
We've had a reach around from a guy who is the sports. I think he's sports editor of the New York Times, who's publishing a book.
Oh yeah.
And wants us to have a chat with him.
Great, let's do that.
Thing is, he's in New York, but I'm in New York in early summer, so we
I'm
might
desperate
possibly
to go to New York.
Go for a little run with him, yeah. It'd be good to, because he's got quite an interesting running book. It'd be good, just a nice little thing to do. I don't think he realised the podcast was recorded on the run.
Right.
Like, big fan of your work.
Yeah.
Love it. I said,
haven't listened
great.
To it.
The only problem is, we tend to do it on the run, so if you can't come to London, oh, right. He was obviously a...
I was daydreaming about New York the other day, thinking, when can I, what can we do in New York? Where can I go to New York? I do like it there a lot.
Yeah.
And of course, we have, what's the word, earmarked it for potential
definitely
repeat marathon experiencing. That's right. I'd like to do comedy there too, though.
Yeah, we should do New York next year and do the marathon next year.
Yeah. Well, those small technical difficulties give us something to work towards, don't they?
Yeah.
And also, you know, when no one gets the actual podcast and it's actually not going in anyone's ears.
Yeah. Just throwing it into the void.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's ideal. It's our favourite. Love it. It's absolutely my favourite.
Yeah. So, coming to the end of a really nice, lazy 6.5-7 mile run, actually. Absolutely beautiful.
There's someone somewhere saying, lazy 7 mile run.
Weaving our
Does
way
that
through.
Work?
No, but we do run slow, don't we?
Yeah, and that's a moment.
We run really, really slow.
It's realising that you've got a certain perspective on life. You know, I really did feel like I was greeting an old friend when I saw that black toenail.
Yeah.
So, yay!
Yes.
There you are!
Yeah.
It's a very strange person to be, isn't it?
And we're actually running on a bit of... We've seen this tarmac get older.
It's grown up with
us. Do you remember when it was fresh?
It's beautiful. It's still a lovely place to run.
Yeah.
Still a great place to run down the middle of the road.
No, it is nice. Yeah.
What are you doing? Be a wonderful sudden end to the podcast, wouldn't it?
It does feel like we're getting really into summer now, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've never... Maybe this year's the year I'll learn that spring happens fast. Fifth by pushing it there.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. This is nice.
Yeah.
When I was training on holiday, running along the banks of Oldswater, which was so glorious, I got a message. I posted about it, obviously. And I got a message on Facebook from a guy who said, oh, yeah, I live near Oldswater and I run along those paths.
Yeah.
And I was your bus driver when you arrived on your holiday.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that lovely?
That's nice.
Great. The circle is complete.
I had one last night when I was doing this truck race. This guy came up to me afterwards, very fit, fast gentleman, way out of my league whilst running in my league.
Yeah.
Came and said, do you remember doing a thing for the Sunday show years ago with Vinnie Jones where you were training people up to be football hard men in Liverpool and you I said well sort of vaguely I remember working with Vinnie vaguely and said and you had a lad there who was sort of like skinny sporty but not very good at football and you got Vinnie Jones to train him up a kind of parody sort of you can imagine I said oh I sort of do I went oh I was a bloke I was that lad he, he was really nice. He was 1998.
Yeah.
I think I'm entitled to.
How old is he now?
To forget details. He'll be about my age. Late 40s. But it was still a nice little
circle of life.
It's a circle of life. And then we meet up again in the Lee Valley Vets League.
It's a wheel of fortune with Vinnie Jones.
Yes.
Slamming your head in the car door.
Yeah.
It's been emotional.
This gig in Southwell, I actually knew these guys' names. This lady that was there, she said, oh, I couldn't believe it. We love running commentary. Saw you coming to South Hills. We were going to come. My mate was going to come from the running club, but he can't come tonight. So this other guy, there were basically two people from the running club.
Right.
But her first choice of mate, it's like her mate, he couldn't come. So she came with another guy from the running club who was older.
Yeah.
And he'd also come straight from running club.
Right.
Still in his gear with his marathon coat on. And they both, and she was like, oh, that was a great show. And he was like, yeah, you're a bit... You know, I can't remember what it was, classic barracking.
Right.
He was much more offhand about it.
Yeah, you got away with it there, mate.
Yeah, exactly, there it is.
So listen, send us your PBs. We'll do some next week. We're getting them through, which is really nice. Yep. Always appreciated. Tell us what you're doing this summer. There's loads of
lots of lovely photos, people. It's lovely. It's funny. Who was it the other day who was running through the woods listening to our marathon?
Yes.
There's a crowd behind me in the woods. Yeah. There was an article in the paper the other day saying that running through the woods is provably good for you, and I think they're right.
Absolutely. High level.
Hi.
No, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we've gone
but
today.
We know that. That's all we do.
Oh, I didn't start again after we stopped.
Don't worry, it's all good.
How
it's
far
good.
Did we get?
About 7. Thank you very much, though. It was good fun. No, we really enjoyed it. It was great. Oh, it was
nice.
Great. get in touch, tell us what you're up to. And we are all over any technical difficulties.
We'll be back.
Problem that we are
keep
dealing with.
Stay with us. We'll be there.
Yes.
We'll be there. Goodbye.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.